Welcome to the 5 Series, a series for teens and college students with the objective of reflecting over the 5 pillars of Islam in a really beautiful and concise manner and answering questions that we all have about our faith. To continue efforts like this, visit rootsdfw.org/sustainyouth and help us create more content just like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us.
Alrighty, bismillah, walhamdulillah, as-salatu was-salam ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, everybody. We are, alhamdulillah, now at the final episode of the November series of the 5 series, alhamdulillah. We're so happy to be ending the series with y'all in a good way. It's the day before, you know, Thanksgiving, and it's the day before, you know, everyone probably gets together with family, shares a meal together, and has, you know, a little bit of time, you know, with loved ones and people who they may see all the time, they may not see all the time. And so we felt like this is a great way to kind of end the month's worth of programming here at Roots, because obviously counting down the last couple of days, you know, we're already heading into the month of December, which is the end of the year. And it's already been a full year. I mean, 2020 has definitely been a roller coaster ride for a lot of us, in especially in America. If you're in America, if you're Roots kind of like worldwide, then you can let us know. You can share with us your thoughts about the 2020 year. But 2020 has been an interesting year, to say the least, for a lot of people who have witnessed the pandemic, who have gone through a lot of the, you know, the situations and circumstances that have kind of taken place this past year. But alhamdulillah, we're here now towards the end of 2020, reflecting, sharing, and, you know, these moments, I never ever, you know, take these moments for granted, where we're able to be with our community, and share some thoughts and, you know, share some reflections with each other about, our faith, you know, improvements in our worship, how to become better people, in general as believers. And, this kind of episode today, we want to keep it short and sweet, but in a very, very reflective manner, so we can all kind of just, you know, benefit together. And so today's episode is about the reward of those who give, the reward of those people who are selfless. If anybody could, really quickly, I would like to actually ask everybody, what is your definition of a selfless person? So how do you, let's actually type this out here. How do you define selflessness? And let's reflect on this together, inshallah. I'm going to pin this comment, and everyone can use their own words to define what does selflessness mean. Actually, I'll type this in on the Facebook chat as well. What does selflessness mean? And so we want to reflect over this question today, right? Because how do we become selfless people? How do we become a people who do not focus on ourselves? Rather, we actually focus on other people. We focus on worship. We focus on things that are beyond you and me. We always ask the question, what about you, rather than what about me? You know, one of our friends used to always tell us, it's always almost like, you know, it's always pulling teeth when you come to a conversation when a person can only talk about themselves. You know, a beautiful conversation usually revolves around a person asking somebody else how they are, how they are doing. And so today we're going to be talking a little bit about what the reward is for people who are selfless. What are the rewards for people who give? What are the rewards for those who have a very, very generous mentality? And so the first thing we always look to when we define anything in Islam is we look at the example of the best. You know, when we ask, you know, who the best athlete is, we all look up the biography of like Michael Jordan, or we all look at, you know, the work ethic of LeBron James. We all look at the kind of the trajectory of a journey that, you know, that Roger Federer took, that, you know, Tiger Woods took, that Lionel Messi took, and all these different people who have done it. And so when it comes to Islam and when it comes to our faith, we all look at how the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did it. You know, when you ask the best of the best, you have to look at the best, which was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And there is a very beautiful ayah in the Quran that defines the example of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ uswatun hasana, that in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, laqad kana, verily, laqad kana lakum fi rasulillahi, in the Messenger of Allah, uswatun hasana, you will find a beautiful pattern. You'll find a beautiful blueprint for those of you who are trying to gain the blessings of Allah. Okay, for those of you who are trying to live a life as a good Muslim, the best thing to do is read the stories of the person who did it the best. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the one who did it the best. He is the one who accomplished the most. He is the one who was the most beloved to Allah. His name was Habibullah, the beloved of God, the one who was the closest to God, the dearest to Allah. And so Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he actually says about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when it comes to the generosity, when it comes to the generosity of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ibn al-Qayyim, he would say that he was the most generous of people in giving charity. In fact, he was so generous throughout the entire year, the only time of the year that he would outdo his own generosity was during the month of Ramadan. Okay, like the only time where he would up his game, like over the rest of the 11 months of the year, it would be the month of Ramadan for the Prophet, right? Like his generosity was so beautiful, his selflessness was so beautiful, that he would just continue to up his own game. And he did not think anything too valuable nor too insignificant to give in charity. You know, the Prophet ﷺ, he even said that a smile in the face of a brother or sister is charity, right? And he would rather, if anyone was to ask for something, then he would give it to them, whether it was little or whether it was great. His happiness and his joy in giving were greater than the joy of the one who was receiving charity from him. This was who he, alayhi salatu wasalam, was. He was a person who gained great joy in giving. He did not feel like he was losing when he was giving. When he was giving, he was actually gaining. And that's very, very, it was the opposite of what this world teaches you. This world teaches you that when you give, you lose. But the Prophet taught people that when you give, you actually gain. And that's something that Ibn al-Qayyim, he mentions. And he also mentions that, you know, when the Prophet ﷺ, when a person was in need, then they submitted like a request to the Prophet. They said, Ya Rasulullah, I need this or I need that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would give that person preference to the need of whoever asked. And he would basically put their need before his. And this is actually a tradition that passed on to the people around him. And one of the prime examples of this was when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam moved to the city of Medina. He moved to the city of Medina, and the muhajirun, the people who had migrated, were all in an extremely vulnerable kind of place in their lives. They left their money behind. They left their homes behind. Some of them left their families behind, and they moved to a place to start a new life. And when you start a new life, the reality is that you're very vulnerable, right? People who are there, who are indigenous to the land, can take advantage of you. People can, you know, cheat you in terms of prices and location and the market. You know, you are, you know, vulnerable in terms of your emotions, your finances, everything. And the people of Medina, the Ansar, Allah Ta'ala, he actually talks about the people of Medina. They said, and he says about the people of Medina, that they gave preference to the muhajirun, to the migrants. They gave preference over themselves, even though they were in a place where they were in need. Like the Medinans, the Ansar, were not wealthy people. The Ansar actually were poor people. They were people who were poor. They weren't like these like lofty human beings who had a giant civilization, and they were wealthy, and they had a lot of money and a lot of things going on for them. They were actually people who were in need themselves. But the Prophet, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he teaches us about the Ansar, that the Ansar gave even though they were in a position of need. And this is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught people, is that he taught people through selflessness that you put others before you, right? And there's a very beautiful ayah in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the beauty of the reward for those who do good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, فَلَهُمْ أَجُرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ فَلَهُمْ أَجُرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ
that their reward is with Allah. فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. So their reward, therefore their reward is with Allah. There are some deeds on this planet that are too beautiful to be rewarded on this earth. And sometimes selflessness falls under that category. When you do something for a beautiful intention, for nobody else besides Allah, you're not trying to gain any reward yourself. You're not trying to gain any worldly kind of, you're not trying to get any worldly benefit yourself or worldly kind of competition for yourself. You are literally doing it for the sake of Allah. فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. Your reward truly lies with God Himself. There was a very, very beautiful narration of a man who came up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he asked, he says, and this hadith is actually in Sahih Bukhari, so the hadith says, جَاءَ رَجُلٌ إِلَىٰ نَبِيٍ sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there was a man who came up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, and he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, he says, أَيُّ صَدَقَتِي أَعْظَمُ أَجْرًا. He says, what is the act of sadaqah that yields the greatest reward? Okay, he says, ayyu sadaqati a'zamu ajran. He says, what act of charity, what act of giving yields the greatest reward? He basically wants to know, ya Rasulullah, like, I don't have much to give. So if I was to give something, which kind of charity that I would give would yield the most reward for me? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a beautiful response. He says to this man, he says, qala rasulullah, he says, anta saddaqa wa anta sahihun. He says that you give in charity while you are in good health. He says you give in charity while you are in good health. An saddaqa wa anta sahihun, shahihun. He says, while you're in good health and you are feeling miserly, okay, takhshal faqra fata'mulul ghina. He says, and you want to gain wealth that you possess, you want to keep the wealth that you possess, and you fear poverty for yourself, and that you hope for yourself riches. Subhanallah. So this man goes up to the Prophet and he says, Ya Rasulullah, what kind of charity will get the most reward? The Prophet says, the first charity that will gain you the most reward is charity that you give when you're in a good state of health. When you're like flying, you know, when you're making a lot of money, when you have good health in your life, that is the charity that is the most rewarded. And you are feeling miserly and you want to keep the wealth that you possess. You want to like save money. You want to save money. You want to gain income. You want to gain capital. You want to invest in this and invest in that. And you're healthy. That is when your sadaqah means the most. And on top of that, you are in fear of poverty and you hope for riches. When you're in that state of mind, that is when your sadaqah gains the most reward. That's when your sadaqah gains the most reward. And you know, this hadith teaches us something very beautiful, that in life, there are different types of rewards for different actions and deeds that we do. For example, when a person struggles reading Arabic, right? A person struggles reading Arabic. You know, when they read the Quran, they kind of pause and they kind of, you know, have trouble reciting it properly. They have trouble basically pronouncing the words. They have trouble with their fluency. I mean, how many of us can kind of relate to this, right? That when we open up the Mus'haf, we see some people over there, like Hafiz Saab is like, Alif Lam Mim, Dhalika al-kitab la rayba fi hudad al-muttaqin alladhina yu'minuna bil-ghaybi wa yuqimuna as-salata wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun. And like, we see that person flying with the Quran, right? And you're out here, you're like, Alif Lam Meme, the, you know, it's tough. It's difficult. You're struggling. You're going through this difficulty because it's not easy for you. You may have caught on a little bit later. You may have kind of, you know, discovered Islam a little bit later. You may have come to understand the wisdom behind faith a little bit later. But Allah promises the reward of the one who struggles to be more than the one who easily does something. You know, the one who easily prays versus the one who struggles to stop themselves from doing something that is occupying their time for prayer, and they stop and pray, that reward is unique. So we believe that there are categories, that there are greater rewards in terms of one's own struggle and challenge in doing good. And so when it comes to this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he says that the one who gains the most reward for a piece of charity is one who gives during a time of good health. A time of good health. A time in which you are trying to save your money. A time in which you're trying to gain capital and you're trying to invest and you're trying to put savings away for later on when you want to buy a house. A time in which you fear poverty for yourself. You're like, if I give this away, I'm going to lose like $100. That is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, your charity means the most. Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Saying, oh yeah, you know, I will give during this time or I will do it during that time. That's cheap. What matters is when you step up during a time of difficulty. And so he says, when you are seeking to keep the wealth and you have a feel of longing to desire for it, that is when your sadaqah is at its highest form of reward for you. When you fear poverty for yourself as a result of your sadaqah, this is a time in which your reward for your charity is at its highest. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also taught people, he says, فَلَا تُمْلِهُ حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْ Hulquma. Okay, he says, do not wait until the soul is about to depart from the body. Okay, wala tumhilu, wala tumhilu hatta idha balagatil hulquma. Do not wait until your soul is about to leave your body. Meaning, don't wait till your final breath. Don't wait till your final breath to do acts of charity and acts of goodness. You know, because at that moment, you know, the people will say, oh, you know, I'm passing away now. So I want to give all of my money. I want to give all of my wealth away for charity. I want to give all of my belongings away for charity. Now that I'm seeing that my mortality is getting to me, I want to start distributing my wealth amongst the poor. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, وَلَا تُمْهِلُوا حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومَ. Don't wait until your soul is about to depart. Don't do that. Because you know what that means is that you waited till a point where you realize that your money is not going to benefit you anymore. You know, hatta zurtumul maqabir. You're going to go to the grave because you can't take your money to the grave with you. What are you going to pay for, like, extra dirt? What are you going to pay for, like, a more, like, you know, is your grave going to be expanded for you once you pass away with your money? No. Any person knows that after they pass away, their money will not benefit them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, don't be a person who only decides to be generous when your time is up. You know, it's almost like Fir'aun. You know, when Fir'aun was persecuting Prophet Musa and the Bani Israel, and he was running after them in the desert, and he finally came up to them at the Red Sea, and Allah told Musa alaihi salam, strike the ground with your staff. And the Red Sea parted itself. And Musa walked through with his people. And then Fir'aun, he saw the chance. He said, this is a miracle. I'm going to go and I'm going to. And by the way, this is the moment, by the way, where the scholars, they say that Fir'aun had believed in Allah. That moment where he saw the Red Sea parted. I mean, could you imagine like an ocean that's completely separating for people to walk through? How incredible would that be to gaze at with your own eyes? It's like something out of a storybook. And so the scholars, they say when Fir'aun, he saw this with his eyes, he realized la ilaha illallah. But his ego continued to tell him no. His ego continued to tell him, no, you cannot succumb to there is one God. You are the Pharaoh. You are the king. You are the master. So you can't admit la ilaha illallah. So Fir'aun refused to even believe in those last moments. Allah gave him a chance right there. Allah allowed him to witness one final miracle. One final miracle Allah allowed Fir'aun to witness. He allowed Fir'aun to see the seas parted, but he still was so arrogant that he tried to attempt to go through the sea without saying La ilaha illallah. And once he was in the middle of the sea, Allah collapsed the sea in and on itself. And at the moment where he was drowning, he says, I believe. And Allah says at that moment, it's too late. I gave you chance after chance after chance. The scholars even say that when the sea parted and he saw it visually, he saw Musa go through it, he knew at that moment, La ilaha illallah. But his arrogance would not allow himself to say that I believe in God. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us. He says, "Wala tumhilu hatta idha balaghatil hulquma." Don't wait. Don't wait until the soul is about to depart from your body. Don't do that to yourself. You're playing yourself, right? Because that's when it's easy. Do it when it actually means something. Rather, give while you're in good health. Give anta saddaqa wa anta sahihun. Give when you're in good health. Okay, and Surah Al-Imran, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says something very beautiful. He says, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. He says, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ. And Allah, you know, in a very beautiful way, Allah sometimes in Arabic nuance, he actually describes the recipient before he actually tells us what the recipient is, right? So Allah will say, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ. For example, he says, you know, those of you who believe and who do righteous deeds, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ. Those of you who are those who are best of creation. So Allah does not necessarily state the subject. He actually describes the subject and then he says the subject last. And so in this ayah, he says, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Allah is describing a group of people. He says, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. Those of you who give, who spend for the sake of Allah, فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ, in ease and in hardship. فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. You're charitable not only during hardship, or you're charitable during ease and in hardship. You're a well-rounded person. You don't only pray when things are difficult. You also pray when things are easy. You don't only make dua when things are difficult. You also make dua when things are easy. That is a Muslim. A Muslim is not a person who capitalizes on when you're going through a rough time. You know, when we're going through a rough time, every single person that we know can post, we can post that فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرَ يُسْرَ on our Instagram story, right? We can say, لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا, right? That, you know, verily with hardship comes ease. You know, don't be afraid because Allah is with us. We can post these things during times of difficulty, but are we at the same level of faith during times of ease? That's a huge question. That's a huge question to ask ourselves. That, you know, when we're going through times of ease, are we the same level of dedication to Allah as we are during times of difficulty? When our backs are against the wall, when we know it's like our final shot with the jump shot, with the shot clock winding down to 2 seconds, are we playing as hard when the shot clock is at 22 seconds, 21 seconds? Or are we only giving full effort when we're just 1 second left, 2 seconds left, 3 seconds left? It's a big question to ask ourselves, right? And so what are some of the rewards for those who give? This is beautiful. You know, in the hadith, in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions that there is not a, and you know what's really beautiful is the angels, they love making dua for specific groups of people, right? The angels love people who love Allah. And this is something that's very beautiful about the angels. The angels, they love whoever loves Allah, right? So if somebody loves Allah or if Allah loves them, the angels will make dua for them. Right, and there's a narration that actually says that, you know, Allah tells the angels, I love him, so you should love him the way I love him, or I love her, you should love her the same way that I love her. And the angels will go down and they will actually give salutations to the person that Allah loves. And so the angels make dua and they show their love for people who love Allah and who Allah loves himself. And so there's a narration that actually says that the Prophet, he mentioned that there's not a single day in which a servant wakes up that two angels come down from the heavens, Okay, there's not a day that passes by that that two angels don't come down from the heavens to visit that person. Okay, and one of the angels, they say, "Oh Allah, give to the one that spends a substitute for whatever they have spent in your cause." Okay, that like whenever somebody spends for the sake of Allah, that angel comes down and makes dua for that person, saying, "Oh Allah, replace whatever they have given for your sake with even better. Replace whatever they have given for your sake with even better, oh Allah." And another angel, the other angel says, "Oh Allah, give to the one that withholds his generosity destruction. Get rid of the one who withholds his generosity," right? So the one of the angels pleads to Allah to reward him, to reward him or her, to have their wealth replaced for whatever they've spent for the sake of Allah with even better. And the other angel, he says that whoever withholds for the sake of Allah, withholds meaning like, and sorry, not for the sake of Allah, they withhold because of their selfishness, the angel makes dua, "Oh Allah, give that person destruction." You know, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he actually says, "Believe in Allah and his messenger. Believe in Allah and his messenger." Okay, he says in the Quran, he says, "Amanu billahi wa rasulihi." And then Allah says, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا جَعَلَكُمْ مُسْتَخْلَفِينَ فِيهِ. He says, believe in Allah and his messenger and spend out of that which he has made you an inheritor of. This is beautiful, by the way, because this ayah really teaches us what money is. You know, it really teaches us what money really is, right? Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah as well, أَلِفْ لَمْ مِيمْ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهُ هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. That they spend for the sake of Allah from what Allah has given them. And it teaches you a really valuable lesson. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. They spend from what we have given them. That they understand that this wealth that you're given is not really yours. You know, how many times have we ever thought to ourselves like, "Oh, that $20 bill is mine," right? "Oh, or that salary that I make is mine. You know, the benefits that I have are mine." You know, the scholars of Quran, they actually say that a human being needs to reflect on the fact that before they received a certain paycheck, that paycheck belonged to somebody else, you know? Like if you get paid like $2,000 a paycheck or $1,000 or $3,000 a paycheck, you understand that that paycheck was not yours literally 2 days ago. It was in the bank and it was owned by somebody else. But now that it's your pay stub time, you get paid that money and now it's yours, right? But even then, it's not really yours because Allah can take it away from you at any moment, right? And so we get really lost in this idea that like, "Oh, that pay stub is mine. Right? That car is mine. That house is mine. I don't want to rent an apartment. I want to buy a home. Because when I buy a home, it's an investment for me." But in reality, it's not. You know, that house was owned by the bank like 2 days ago. Right? It's actually still kind of owned by the bank because you're paying mortgage. Right? I mean, it's not even fully yours yet. And that's the incredible thing about the way that money works, that Allah keeps on telling us, وَمِمَّا رَزَقُنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and spend from which I have given you. It's not really yours to begin with, you know? And there's another beautiful narration where the Prophet ﷺ, he says, "Look to those who have less than you, and do not look to those who have more than you. This is more appropriate so that you do not overlook or undervalue the blessings that Allah has given you." He says, "Look to those who have less than you. Don't look to those who have more than you, because this is more appropriate for you, so that you don't undermine and undervalue the blessings that Allah has given you." Another thing that the Prophet ﷺ says is giving and charity doesn't decrease your wealth in the slightest. Rather, and the person who pardons is not increased except in honor, and there is no person who is humble for the sake of Allah except that Allah will raise his rank. So he says that giving and charity does not decrease your wealth in the slightest, rather it actually increases you. And then another thing the Prophet ﷺ, he says, this recorded Ibn Majah, he says, "Charity extinguishes the sins like water extinguishes a fire." Charity extinguishes sins like water extinguishes fire. That even if the fire is rampant, the fire is just out of control, if you have the right amount of water, that fire is controllable. If you put that fire out in time, that fire won't get to the point where it destroys everything. And the Prophet ﷺ, he says that charity extinguishes sin like water extinguishes the fire. And this is something that we all need to kind of understand and reflect upon, is when we give in charity, yes, we agree that we want the best for others. We should feel this level of sympathy when we give in charity to other people. But the major reward for those who give charity is that you're ultimately doing an act of worship. It's not just worldly. And I've mentioned this several times in this series. You know, we think that, you know, when we're fasting because we want to feel what the people who can't eat on a day-to-day basis feel like. When we're praying Salah, we're like, oh yeah, it really gets me and my schedule really down pat. And, you know, like, it's a great form of like yoga and like, you know, all these different things. No. When it comes to like, you know, Hajj is not like, oh, I need to do this because like, you know, it's a form of a trip. It's a vacation. No. That's not why we do any of this stuff. The reason why we say La ilaha illallah, the reason why we pray Salah, the reason why we fast during the month of Ramadan, why we give zakah, why we perform Hajj, the reasons why we do these things is because Allah told us to do them. It's a form of submission. Islam is all about submission. If we cannot accept that these things are a form of submission, then you're missing the actual meat and potatoes of why we do what we do. We do not do anything other than the fact that Allah told us to do it. And that's the major reason why we do these things, right? And so when Allah tells you, give sadaqah, for sadaqah brings you closer to me and extinguishes sin, then we actually acknowledge that the reason why I give sadaqah is not solely because I feel bad for somebody, or, you know, my heart feels heavy for a person who doesn't have it. Yes, that's a great side effect. That's a great worldly thing to feel. But spiritually, one should feel that I'm getting closer to Allah when I give charity, when I give sadaqah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to feel those moments of closeness to Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to feel those moments of nearness to our Creator. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to wipe our sins every time we give even a penny in charity. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to erase our sins with every good thought and good intention that we have. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward us and to give us a final resting place in Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la and get us as far away from the punishment as possible. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, you know, when we are people who act and behave, we behave in a way that is pleasing to Him, and we behave in a way that is bringing people closer to Islam and not further away from it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whatever we do, that we do it for His sake, that our intention is clean, Ya Allah. Your Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ, that actions are verily rewarded in accordance to their intention. Oh Allah, we ask You to purify our intentions. We ask You to beautify our sincerity. We ask You to keep our spirituality pointing in its true north. We ask You to forgive us for any of our constant mistakes that we make. And we ask You to reward us for any of the good that we've done. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Wa nashadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you guys so much for joining in today. I know today is like the day before Thanksgiving Day on Thursday, and everyone's already kind of like in party mode. They're ready to eat and celebrate and just get together with family. But I just wanted to share this short episode with y'all, this reflection with y'all, so we always remember that, you know, our focus on this life, at the end of everything, when food is over, when, you know, celebration is over, when parties are over, when games are over and movies are over, we always turn back to the One. We always turn back to Allah. And we ask Allah to accept this from us. Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate you guys. And we will see you. There will be a break in programming here at Roots from tomorrow to Sunday. So we'll be back in full force on Monday, which will actually be, I believe Monday is going to be November 30th. So we'll be back in full swing on November 30th. And we'll kind of have a short month of December, because December is also a month in which a lot of us are, you know, usually taking a little time to hang out with our families at the end of the month. But inshallah, we'll see you all again on Monday, beginning with programming again. And we'll reconvene our community activities next week. Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.